I am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
I'm saying it's 8:30. Like it's about 8:30. I'm in my car. I'm in the drive-thru. Okay. If you must know, because I'm take notes. Ready? 2 7-layer burritos, no cheese, no sour cream. 2, count them. 2 bean burritos, no cheese, add tomatoes. Okay, that'd be the Taco Bell order. On my way home from a talk on healthy living, on my way home from the Marin Humane Society talk that I gave last Saturday. Now, you may think that's a contradiction, but if you know me, you go, that's not a contradiction at all, because healthy living, to me, is different than eating healthy 100% of the time and being a nutty nut and not in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm on my way home. I think it's better than other stuff, not as good as other stuff. That's how it rolls. I don't eat that way every day. So now I'm not sweating it. And this is relevant. But that in a second. I'm in the drive-thru, and the very nice woman at the drive-thru window decides to have a talk with me, to have a bit of a conversation while they're assembling the art that is my particular Taco Bell order, and nay, regular Taco Bell order. And so she's talking to me, and I don't even remember how it comes up, but she said, you know, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from Mendocino. I got a long drive. I'm driving 3 hours home. And I had ordered a pink lemonade. I'm a little partial to pink lemonade, okay? It's not a racial thing. It's just I like pink lemonade better than I like yellow lemonade. I don't know why. It's in my gut. It's how I was raised. I can't question that stuff. And so I said 3 hours. She goes, wow, and yeah, I mean, you got to, and then it's like, you know, those drives are really hard. You know, I have to pee all the time. I have to pee all the time. My husband gets really angry because I have to stop like every 30 minutes. And you got to, you know, if you got to drive a 3 hour drive, don't drink too much because then you're going to have to stop and pee. And I, here's where I stand on the whole, this whole thing. I think if you are in a drive-thru at any establishment, Amy's drive-thru, Taco Bell, whatever, if you can get to the subject of urination with the person behind the window, you won. You've won. I won that round, world. Got to talk about my urination habits with somebody at the Taco Bell. I paid my $7.42, and I hit the road running. Okay? Now back to the Marin talk. So I'm second string. If you guys watch my vlog, you would have seen that I was second string. So what that means is they had somebody booked. Who canceled? Guess who doesn't? Me. I don't cancel. So just FYI. Anyway, so the woman knew of me. I'm speaking at her event in August at the Sonoma County thing. And she called me. Can you save us? We had a late cancellation. Can you come down and talk? And I said, yes, I'll come down and talk. Very nice lady. I'm like, what am I saying? No. I mean, I could. I just love doing the group. I love talking in front of groups. Why? I'm not going to turn it down. So I drive 3 hours down there and I'm giving the talk. And it's on perceptions of restriction in healthy living, which is one of my favorite talks to give. Very boring title, mind you. But I think I did a good job, and I made people laugh, and there was some good, very good questions, and some people who I could tell were, let's say, straddling the nutty nut normalcy line, just on any given day might stray on one way or the other, maybe functional at work, but then... and so... afterwards, and I'll talk about the scotch, by the way, and I'm talking about it more now than ever before. Why? Because this is a new podcast, and I'm not pulling punches, and it's what it is. Did I pull punches a little bit in Approaching the Natural? A little bit. In the beginning, I kind of did, and then, I mean, in the beginning, I drank the scotch, but then I kind of stopped, and then I kind of was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, and I'm done doing that. I'm not doing it. Now it's a point of pride. Anyway, so I'm talking about the sort of militancy restriction kind of thing and how you can live, eat very healthy, but then you can go over that line, et cetera, et cetera. If you guys have heard my talks, then that's where it is. And so afterwards, you know, after the group questions while I'm still on stage, I get off stage and I'm chatting with very nice people, and they're very complimentary, by the way, very nice. And but I got the scotch attack. I got approached by a person. She says, you are kidding about the scotch. You don't really drink scotch. I go, no, I most certainly do drink scotch. I don't drink it a ton, but I do drink scotch. She goes, so like once a year or like twice a year, I go, do I look like a communist? Because that's regulation that should never exist. That's over the line politically and otherwise. I said, no, like once a week. And shame in her face. I mean, I was judged from, and I think I looked okay. I had a collar shirt. I don't know why I was being judged for that. But I didn't get defensive. And I think that was a win, because what I was thinking about in total relationship to my approach to this and the things I talk about these days is defensiveness and in a way weakness can be dishonest. It's not only something I just think we got to start working on and being stronger, but it can be downright and damn dishonest. For me to be defensive about that and expend all this energy to justify and to be okay in her eyes is just simply a waste of my time. And it's dishonest. Why? Because I don't have a problem with the amount of scotch I drink. If I did, then I would have to justify it in my own mind, and I'd lose that battle every time. It's something I know that is not good for me. Of the many things I do that are not good for me, I balance that out with the more things that I do that are good for me, and I'm doing okay. That's me. But this sort of like a number in her mind of like, if I did it once a year, in her mind, she would invite me over for dinner. Because that was the line that was okay. Lines, guess what, guys? We make them up. Those are made up things in her mind of just like, once a year is okay, but once a month, that's not okay. That crosses an imaginary line that I made up in, it might as well be in Narnia. That's how random that is. I said, look, if I had a problem with alcohol, I wouldn't do it at all. I wouldn't do it at all, but it's something I like. And I said, and I make a point to talk about it now because I am very fearful that more people are becoming militant if they do not have a strong foundation of standards and values that they stand for and that they understand before they embark upon any kind of changes into diet and you know the rigmarole. And she obviously didn't, in my opinion. I met her for 2 minutes. I'm not inviting her over for dinner, tell you that much. Why? Because I'm not wasting scotch on somebody who doesn't appreciate scotch. That's crazy. So I didn't want to try to, I'm not going to sit there. So win for me. Because in the past, I'll be honest, in the past, I would have been like, well, it's, I was just like, yeah, man, once a week. And I talk about it. She's not going to follow my vlog. She's not going to subscribe to me on YouTube. Okay. Is that fair? Oh, look what do you see what I did? I jumped right into the thing. But a sip of scotch first. This scotch is called Ardbeg. Ardbeg. My wife had bought me one years ago. She buys me a bottle every year for my birthday. And years ago, she bought me an Ardbeg, but not this particular Ardbeg. It's just a 10-year one. The one she bought me was a different one. And this is a good one. It's not knocking my socks off. Okay, it's not knocking my socks. I've sold my socks on. It's good. It's a little on the smoky side. And I got to tell you, I don't know if it's my age, but I'm less and less inclined to go to the smokier side of single malt. I'm a little more into the mellower, sweeter, not too sweet, but a little sweeter, less smoky. That's just me. And I'm only telling you guys this for two reasons. One, I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I make when you choose your single malt. And two, if you decide to buy me a bottle, you know now the parameters, and I think that that's an empowerment kind of issue. You're not going to walk into a scotch store and go, I don't know what to get. You know what to get me now, and that's kind of, you know, weight off your shoulders. The world now is full of so much content. I talk about it all the time. But the problem with it, in my opinion, is that especially when the younger, what the kids are doing, I think it sets us up with a false sense of what it takes to, number one, succeed. We have this kind of like, well, they didn't have to work and they got all this stuff, so I don't have to work, so I should get all that stuff. And I don't know if I talked about this last week, and I'm not even going to ask anymore because I have so many avenues where I'm talking that I could be repeating myself. But what happened all of a sudden when people ask for raises and don't try to like justify why we should give them a raise? Did I talk about that last week? I don't know. Still on my mind. I'm like, can you sell me on why I should do anything for you? So there's this weird kind of false sense of what it takes to make it, let's say. Okay, good. But on the other flip side of that, or just another way to look at it, is that, and this is, I'm going to speak directly to my own experience with me and with lots of people I've worked with. And it's this idea of fairness. This is a weird it's a fairness is a very complex concept anyway, exacerbated by the environment now with social media and everything else, because we're such a fractioned kind of we don't see the whole picture kind of deal. And so we look at somebody online and we go, they're like making it. That's not. And we kind of have this, at least I do. Sometimes have this thing of like, that's not fair. That person doesn't have to do anything to be thin or whatever, you know, how, God, it's so unfair. Why do I have to work this hard to do this? And I get stuck in that hole. I do. It pisses us off, frankly, to think of somebody succeeding, not in the way that we think it's appropriate for somebody to succeed. Again, made up, right? It's made up by us. We have parameters and we say, and I do too. I'm like, somebody who succeeds should work their asses off. They should earn it. That's how I look at it, right? But here's what I don't know. I don't know if somebody did that. I don't know, and I don't care, and I'm not going to certainly take the time that it would take. So why am I focused on it if I'm not going to take the time? If I'm going to focus on it and get pissed about it, I should at least say, well, then I'm going to find out what the backstory is. I want to know exactly what these people did to get to what I perceive as their success. Lo and behold, sometimes I'm going to get into that if I ever did and find out they're actually not successful in the way that I further define success. They may be successful how they define it, but most likely it's not going to, I'll just say there's a good chance it may not be successful in the way that I define it, which is much broader than, let's say, money and or followers or whatever that I sort of like. Again, we love the partition thing. So it's like if they have this many YouTube followers, and I'm speaking from experience, I'm like looking at YouTube, I'm like, really? You're turning on your phone in front of a white wall and you're saying stupid shit and you have 50,000 times more subscribers. That's not fair in my mind, I say. But that's not objective. That's not number one, not objective. Two, holding me back. Holding me back, 'cause it just pisses me off. I don't need to be angry about something I cannot control. And furthermore, I'm kind of, when I'm calm, totally okay with it. Here's how I define myself, and definitely not how I've been living. I love competition. I want there to be more competition. I used to want to, like, I think this isn't unusual, but when you're a kid, you sort of like, it'd be great if I could just be like the best basketball player and like not have to work on it and be that hard. And it'd be great if we could win because the other team sucked, you know, like that we kind of want the win. And then potentially as we get older, we sort of round out that idea of what winning is and how it really is an empty success or empty win when it's not earned. We ideally understand that as we move further in that direction. But the fact is, in the title of this episode, it's all is not fair in love and war. All is not fair. It's, and nobody said it should be. And it's such a weird thing when we have this. My son is exactly, he's a very like keen sense of fair. Like it pisses him off. I can see that. He probably gets it from me. And so I'm making moves in my own mind and life to sort of back away from that a little bit and say, like, this is not fairness is complex. It's just we want to define it and say it's not fair that that person has that. And it might be totally fair. And it might be that even if they didn't work as hard as we work, they didn't cheat. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't lie. They didn't cheat. People on YouTube didn't. Maybe they bought followers. I don't know. But probably people dig them because there's a lot more accessible people than I am. I mean, I can make this okay in my head by far, because I can look at my YouTube channel and go, yeah, I'm talking about ideas. Like, somebody wants to go and watch a vlog about somebody, you know, doing something funky and they just want a relief, you know, and a release from the stress of the day. I get it. I'm just not that guy. But for me to get mad that that person has more followers is a complete waste of my time. And whether somebody can naturally achieve a healthy weight, may not be healthy, by the way, but because it comes easier to them doesn't mean that their life is better. And when we sort of go like, you know, like we again, all's not fair in love and war. And instead of changing the game to say, no matter what happens in love and war is fair, it's stronger to admit it's not fair. I think we either can say fairness is a complex issue, or we can say, yeah, it's not fair. Not fair. Not everything in love and war. And that's just a saying. All is fair in love and war. It's like this sort of idea of like we can do crappy things and justify them in our minds. If we say, well, all's fair in love and war, then I can just behave like an absolute asshole, but I can sort of justify that because that's how it happens. Instead, we should sort of change the game on our terms and say, you know, it's not fair. And it's kind of okay if we can sort of be okay with that. It's a very interesting way to sort of come into your life. If we sort of go, we want to justify our actions as part of this, you know, all's fair in love and war thing, and so therefore we're going to make these moves to justify the way we act in bad ways, bad to us, by the way, we lose. We lose. If it's dangerous for us in terms of our ability to and desire to live a good life, if we're just looking always for an excuse to sell out our principles because, well, all's fair in love and war. Selling out your principles is never a path to happiness. It just isn't. In the moment, it seems easier to do, but we always pay the price. I'm sort of like a linear in some ways. Artistically, I was more sort of free, but then in my way of thinking, sometimes I'm a little more linear. But I like nutrition for this reason. I'll say 99.9% of the time, there's an explanation for somebody's like issues. Like it's pretty, this whole idea, like everybody sees I think the doctors now, MDs, like they signed a pact that they just tell every patient, I don't know, I've never seen this before. I have everybody I talk to now goes, yeah, the doctor said they'd never seen it before. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, you're 80 pounds overweight, and so maybe your doctor's never seen this before, but clearly there's like a thing that you could tackle that would probably help lots of other things in your life, maybe not solve everything, but like clearly would move you in this direction. But it's sort of like if the doctor goes, I've never seen it before, then all of a sudden we're like, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to do anything about it. Woo! The doctor, he or she, they've never seen it, so what am I saying? I can't do anything about it. They don't even know what it is. They can't even define it. It's so freeing. But it's not freeing, is it? It's not freeing. It's not freeing. I don't know why I even got on I'm not pissed at MDs. I think I'm still maybe a little chapped on the scotch. I got the scotch attack. I'm still a little chapped on that. I don't know what to tell you about that. But in the moment, again, in this kind of all's fair in love and war thing, we can easily, like I said, sell out our principles and go like, well, that's just how it goes in the moment. And it is easier in the moment. By the way, lots of things that are easier in the moment, like grabbing the junk food, or grabbing the fast food, we pay the price long term. And again, I'm going to come back to my sort of linear way of thinking. It's like if you do this, that's going to happen. You know, like it's pretty explainable. I like that I can look at things in a way and go like, yeah, there's a good chance that's going to happen. I can kind of as I age and get more life experience, I have a very acute BS detector, and I can also kind of see a trajectory a little more clearly than I used to before. And I'll tell you that like this plays in the sort of health and happiness world totally to that end of day conversation of in my brain of why I, you know, hypothetically deserve to have the dessert that I didn't earn. You know, like at the end of the day, you're fatigued and you're like vulnerable and you can go like, yeah, I've been, and you hear the voice and it sounds like you and you're like, yes, I deserve this dessert, and you can make that, you can justify it, and you can just like sell your principles out because you're in that world of fatigue and getting tired, but you didn't earn it and you definitely pay the price. Like you just pay the price. The justification up until that action doesn't make the action feel okay. It really doesn't. It gets you to do the action, but then you lose afterwards and you pay the price of having done it. That goes for selling out our principles. That goes for anything that we do that it's against our values. And when we define our values, again, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, when we define our values clearly, we know where we stand. And we're not always going to follow them. We are going to sell ourselves out sometimes. It's going to happen. But if we're clear at least where we stand, we know a direction within which we're living our lives. When the fairness issue is a big one for me because it speaks to this sort of view I have of life of like if everybody was sort of accepted competition and welcomed it, then it wouldn't be unfair that they didn't get what somebody else get. They'd be like, well, I lost that round. It's like, you know, like it's not going to be the, oh my gosh, I lost that round. What am I going to, it's like, yeah, okay, I lost that round. It's like, well played, sir. We want to, in a way, we want to feel like the game is fair. But then we're pissed when we lose it. And it's like, if I'm pissed that somebody doesn't have, you know, has more book sales than I do, unless they're cheating, it's like they won. It's like, fine, maybe I think their book sucks, but they won. And I'm happier for accepting that than I am stewing about the fact that I think their book sucks and they shouldn't be selling more books than I. But people, we get wrapped up in that stuff. We get wrapped up in that stuff and we lose every time. Okay, and I'm gonna sidestep it for a second, and I'm just gonna because I didn't do this before. But thanks everybody on Patreon, and I got more reviews. You guys are awesome. Thank you. I feel supported. I feel supported, and it makes me want to keep working. It really does. I mean, I love the work I do, but I can tell you, there's a social part of our species, and we dig when we feel supported, and we thrive, and we want to send that support back out. We really do. It's absolutely true. And welcome, if anybody's listening who joined the Small Steppers thing, because I was running a promo and a bunch of people signed up, and I can't wait to get that rolling because that's exciting to me too, because I love that work. Okay, so back to the whole fairness thing. I'm talking about, and I really hope that you can relate. Anybody listening to this? Anybody out there? Okay, I hope that you can relate because I look back at my career and there are, I mean, when I was acting in music. You know, there's always like this internal thing of like, that sucks that they, like, there's a jealousy and an envy and like, they made it and you want to tear them down. There's like that rush you get from like, if you can tear somebody down, like I did 15 minutes ago, like in front of a white wall with a phone on, it's like, yes, I think it's crappy. Yes, I look at that and I want to do things well in my, at least how I view them. But that doesn't mean that person doesn't deserve anything. That doesn't mean that it's unfair that they've gotten success. It just means, if I really want to be honest with myself, it just means like I am not willing to do that to get what they have. In which case, I kind of won. Weird, right? We suffer from comparison. And now more than ever, because again, we are only watching certain things of people's lives. We never totally get to the full story in this social media environment, and we can get the full story when we actually relate to people, but we don't really relate to people, especially younger kids who are just, their whole social thing is on the phone. I mean, that's like, it's not like, oh, well, I mean, I go out and I have conversations with people in person, and I also do a little social media. It's like, no, that's like a bulk of your interaction with other humans is a very partitioned, very muted view. It's very adjusted and edited. We're living in sort of like an edited culture. It's very, it's not working, frankly. We do better when we compare ourselves, wait for it, to ourselves. When you compare yourself only to yourself, I mean that... We may not ever achieve that, but we win when we compare ourselves to ourselves, like only. If I had my way in my own life, I would go like, if I could only compare myself to myself, I'd be fine. And here's what I mean. Am I doing things now that I wasn't able to do 10 years ago? Am I doing things now? Am I working harder than, do I feel good because I did something yesterday and now I've progressed? Is the way that I'm thinking, moving myself forward, is the work I'm doing improving over time? We do that and we win, and that speaks to that whole fairness, because we don't look at the world and go, it's unfair that this is happening. It's unfair that that person got elected. It's unfair that this is like, look, and even when there's cheating and things that are illegal, we still lose if we get bent out of shape by those things, because we still lose when we are looking outward and being upset and angry in our own lives. That basically is a distraction from us living our own lives. Compare yourself. Who were you years ago, months ago? Days ago, who were you? Compare yourself today to what you actually stand for. That is the work of living well. That is the work. And perhaps, and this is a tough pill to swallow, what you have now, even though you want more, maybe it is fair given. I look back, this is a perfect example. I look back at my music career. And I definitely thought was like, God, this is like, we should be this and we should be that. And we're working our ass. And we were working our asses off. And I can be pissed about that and say that was really unfair that we didn't get the success we deserved. Or I can look back and say, actually, now with a little age and a little perspective, totally fair given what I was willing and, by the way, unwilling to do for success. And even deeper, given my actual definition of success, I think I was successful. That's how weird that was. And my regret is that I look back and go, if I had let all that crap go, I probably would have been even more successful in terms of even worldly success. I don't know. I think I can't go back revisionist history. I don't even know. I can't even fix it. So it's worthless for me to discuss. But it is a worthwhile pursuit to sort of look at fairness and how we first of all define fair and recognize that we may get exactly what we deserve. I probably deserve exactly the amount of YouTube followers I have right now. Nobody's treating me badly. I can ask for more and I can hope for more and I can work for more. But to say it's unfair that somebody else has more because and they do less is a childish way to look at the world. It's just simply childish. If I want to be strong enough to go, hey, I lost that round. That person's kicking ass more than I am. How do I figure out how to kick ass more on my terms and in the way that I want to live? Those are the only questions I want to consume myself with, and also understanding very clearly how I define success, which is, you know, being a good father. And so if I want to be a good father, then maybe I can't do all the things in YouTube that I would do to get more followers, like post every day or whatever else, because I got other things, and I don't want to get lost in this. I want to do that, and so I'm going to do this at all costs. I don't want to pay that. I don't want to pay it. I didn't want to pay it as a musician. I didn't want to pay it as an actor. So is it unfair that I didn't get those things, or did I get exactly what I deserved in that way? And I like to think that I got exactly what I deserved because it makes me feel better in a way, right? If I wanted more, I would have done more, or I should have done more, but I didn't. Moving on. It's called being a freaking adult, right? I don't want to be muddled with that crap. And these values, by the way, of what is fair, these are values. I mean, these are values. We can change them and we can redefine them for us, but they are values. I mean, what we think is fair or not, in a way, it speaks to what we stand for. If I say it's unfair that that person gets this for not doing work, I obviously value hard work and think that should be an integral part of success. The question is it actually unfair or fair? And what is that in the larger scope of things? That person, again, they're doing what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing. But I will say that in my view of fairness, when I can both be upset that somebody's getting something that I think they don't deserve, I will say that I'm also very pleased in my own life by when somebody gets something that I view they do deserve. Like, I like when a musician that I like gets success, that I think is a talented musician and works hard. I go like, oh, good on them. You know, like, they freaking, good for them. Like, it's not like I think everybody who gets success is like, oh, they suck. It's like, no, I'm like super duper happy when somebody, you know, some music, Ryan Adams, one of my favorites, I'm like, all the success, like, that guy should just sell a billion records, you know, because I just think he's fantastic. And so I don't know him personally, but just in terms of the work he does, I'm like, yeah, more great. And I wonder if even this idea of how we look at the world and determine what's fair and what we think is unfair both defines us and also attracts us to like minds. I mean, maybe it's a way that it's not a bad thing, in other words. It's just a bad thing when we get so caught up in the negative side of that that it ruins our quality of life. I mean, it definitely feels better for me to be happy when somebody I perceive who is deserving of their success gets success. It feels better than me trying to instinct, you know, like just like a quick response to just reactively want to take somebody down because I think they don't deserve it. It's crazy. It's insane. And I don't think it serves us well at all. And I look, I'm not going to try to so hard to wrap this back to the health and happiness world that I work in, but I think it does definitely exist there. I mean, we want to say, like, how can that person eat whatever they want and be healthy? That's unfair. Why do I have to? I have a genetic disposition to weight gain. I mean, I do. I absolutely do. I have to work harder to maintain my weight than other people do. Is that unfair? Or am I like, yeah, okay, good to know. Fine, moving on. Or if I can just stew about how pissed off I am that some guy is walking around with six-pack abs and doesn't deserve it, on whose planet am I going to be king of that judgment? On whose planet? I don't know why I would even ask on whose planet. It seems like a good question. I'm going to finish with this issue of fairness. It's something that plagues me and it wrenches my gut that's when I look out and when I see something that gets somebody gets something that they don't deserve. It bothers me. I feel it bothers me, right? I don't want it to bother me, and I don't think it actually does, like, you know, the me not me thing, but that's what it is. Instead, and excuse the look, I'm going to go hippy dippy for a second, and that wrenches my gut. Okay, it's okay. Here's my inclination. My meditation, if you will, and that's what. I threw up in my mouth again. It's not the scotch. It's the word meditation. It's I don't know what happened there. What happened there? My meditation is to, and my inclination is to chuck what's fair or unfair, and sort of out the window, and instead work in my own life as hard as I possibly can. And that goes for the work that is me sitting here doing this podcast. That goes for the work of me doing my vlogs. That goes for me the work running the wellness center and everything else. But more importantly, it goes for the work I am as a husband and as a father. And I want to, and I think what works for me, and I want you to just sort of think about this week or whenever I come back to do this, I have no idea, and I love that freedom, is I want to chuck the idea of fair and unfair and who gets this and they get that and I didn't get this, and instead work my ass off to deserve the best. I want to work my ass off to deserve the very best of everything. Here's the hitch. Whether I ever get it or not. And as my dad would say, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Thank you. nothing to you. You say it like you're grasping at the truth. You say it like you want to believe it's true. So what is put forth to me is I should stop thinking so much. Funny thing is, I've been living on instinct, acting by instinct, desperately not to think. But I'm not an instinct-driven man. But I'm not an instinct-driven man. An instinct-driven man.